first eight verses and by God's grace say something about them. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. And in these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos, for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that not one of you be puffed up one for one against another. Who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doest thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that you also, well, we also might reign with you. You remember Paul was really concerned over the divisions and factions of these Corinthians, over personalities, over preachers, disliking certain ministers and liking others. And that's why he came down there to say in verse 21 of chapter 3, therefore let no man glory in men. Because all things are for you, you know, all things are yours. The only reason God gave Paul was for your sakes, our sakes. Apollos, God called him to preach, gave him a message for your sakes. This world, he raised this world up, made it, blesses it with the things that's necessary for you. For you, life, death, things to come, things present, they're yours, and you're Christ, and Christ is God. Now he comes back to this business of the ministry. And there's four things here that we'll look at. First of all, he describes the office of the ministers of Christ or the servants of Christ. He says they're stewards. And then the duty of them. They're required to be faithful. Then he calls that, he says that the servants of the Lord will only face the true judge, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They don't even judge themselves. And he ascribes all gifts to the grace of God who maketh you to differ. What have you got that you didn't receive? So let's start right off here. And Paul says, so let a man count of us. If God gave us this ministry, if God called us, let a man show account of us. Let him look upon us as servants of Christ. Called of Christ. Called and qualified by Christ. Sent of him to preach his gospel. His servant, not our own servant. Not our own servant. We're his servant. Paul said, you know, that we're ambassadors for Christ. As if God by you did beseech you through us that you be reconciled to Christ. So that's what we are. We're ambassadors, just servants of Christ. And every man's a servant. So what difference does it make? What else he is? He's a servant of Christ. And then he goes on to say, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, a steward, and we find in the scriptures, the word steward's used often. They don't use it so much today. Maybe in other countries they do. But what it means is that a person that's put in charge of the affairs of his master's household. He's put in fair, he's over all the other servants. He manages his affairs, makes his accounts payable and all that. And you find so many times through the scriptures where there were stewards. Joseph was made steward. You know when he brought him up out of the prison? Pharaoh made him lord over everything. He said, everything in this nation, you're over it. Nobody can have anything, do anything, go anywhere, have nothing unless you give it to him. He was stewards over those things. And then Eliezer. You remember Abraham's servant Eliezer? He made him swear when he went down over to get a bride for his son Isaac. And he says, you know, he said, Father, he said, I don't have an heir. I do not have an heir. He said, there's nobody going to have anything. He said, but my servant, I don't have an heir. My servant Eliezer is going to get it all. He was the Stewards. And that's what Paul said. We're just stewards. Christ put us over His affairs, over the affairs of our Master. Then what He trusted us with was this, the mysteries of God. That's what we're stewards of. Stewards of the grace of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. God put us in trust. He says, now this is what you're this is what you're over. This is what you deal with. This is what you must be faithful over. The mysteries of God. And when He's talking about the mysteries of God here, He's talking about things that's already been revealed. Not things that's hidden now. Things that's revealed. The revelation of God. The truth is it's revealed in Christ. The gospel's what He's talking about. That's what we've been called to do. Deal with the mysteries of the gospel. The revelation of God, truth revealed. And I tell you, that's the way truth is. It's revealed. It's revealed. A man can tell all the truth that there is to tell. But if God does not reveal it to you, you'll never know it. Now I tell you, things are so easy to understand. Free willism is easy understood. Free willism, you choose not to choose. I said before you this day, who you gonna choose? You can choose to be saved or you can choose to be lost. You know, God gives you your choice. If you exercise your free will, you can be saved. Anybody can understand that. Anybody can understand salvation by works. Anybody can understand that. You know that you do something, you be obedient, you be a good man, you be a faithful man, you be a good husband, be a good servant, do all the things that you're supposed to do, and then God will reward you at the end with salvation. Men can understand, they can understand fatalism. What will be, will be. That you know, we're out of everything, you know, it's just fatalism. And a man can understand that with no wisdom behind it, no God behind it, no glory behind it, none of the divine providence behind it. Man just stands back and say, well, you know, this world's, we got enough to say in it. And they just believe in fatalism. But if you ever know anything about the gospel, anything about the grace of God, God's got to reveal that to you. And that's what Paul's saying about, said, this mysteries of God's what we've been accounted to give to us. We're stewards over the mysteries of God. The gospel. And without the truth of the gospel. And the gospel has to do, and I've said it over and over and over again. And I think I'm in good company saying this. The gospel has to do with how God can be just and justify the ungodly. How that God can save a sinner and stay holy and righteous in glory and honor every attribute of Himself. And at the same time, save a man who's dishonored Him every day of his life and do it in such a way that the sinner can be saved, the sinner can be righteous, and God can stay holy. That's the gospel that we have to, those are the mysteries. Now how you can fit, if you can ever, and here's the thing about it, if you ever see the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, what do I mean by that? The wisdom of God in Christ. If you ever see that, the wisdom and power of God in Christ, that's why Paul says, you know, we preach Christ crucified unto them that are called, both the wisdom and power of God. The wisdom of God is revealed in Christ, how He can be just and justified. That God demanded perfection. He gave us perfection in Christ. God demanded death for sin. He put death in sin. And Christ was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin. And in the likeness of sinful flesh, He was condemned for sin and raised for our justification. And then the power that God uses Him, He was the power of God by which He saves every man. And oh, that's what I'm saying. If you ever see the wisdom of God in Christ, it's easy to ask what he says. These things are revelations. And Paul's talking about here our doctrine, our message, these mysteries. They didn't originate with us. This doctrine didn't originate with us. We're not teaching the doctrines of other men. He says, you know, we're ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And he just told the truth that have been revealed to him. He said over in 1 Corinthians 15, as I have received, so I delivered unto you. Ain't that what he said? Look with me, you keep that, look over with me in John chapter 7 just a moment. John chapter 7. You know, that's the thing about it. That's I don't care, you know, in a man can, this is this business of the gospel. It's a great leveler. It's the great lever. Two things that levels a man in this world. The gospel and death. The gospel regards every man exactly the same. It makes no difference in men. We face all men with the same truth and truths that's revealed. And then death is the second thing. It's going to level everybody. Everybody gets, you know, I don't care how smart you are, death's going to get you. I don't care how smart you are, the gospel has to be revealed. I don't care how dumb you are, death's going to get you. I don't care how dumb you are, revelation has to, God has to reveal the truth to you. The gospel has to be revealed. And that's what's leveling this all. That a man can come in with the org and brag about his intelligence and brag about where he's been, brag about what he's done with all of his degrees and all of these things and doctor this and nurse that and everything else. And yet, but the gospel is a revelation. Paul said he's a steward of the mysteries of God. Truths that's revealed. And look what he said here in John 7:14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? That's what they said about the apostles. Here they're up there preaching these great truths, these mysteries, and these things of God, and God's doing something with them. Oh my, what in the matter of the world? How'd these fellows learn all this stuff? And on, then Lord Jesus said in verse 16, Jesus said to them and says, my doctrine is not mine, but his has sent me. Huh? That's what Paul said. My doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And that's the way you can tell whether a man's preaching the gospel or not. Whether he's preaching the mysteries of God as a revelation. Now back over here in our text. Let me go to the next one. And he goes on here. So since we're mere stewards of the mysteries of God, ministers of Christ, servants of Christ. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required. It's required. It's not left up to him how whether he wants to be faithful or not. If God calls him, it's required that he be faithful. If a man's not faithful, that's why Paul says, you know, I preach to, not only to others, but to myself, lest I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to be cast away. I don't want to be set on a ship. And he says, moreover, it's required that a man be found faithful. Now, what is he talking about being faithful? That means just showing up? Does that mean just punching the time clock? Does that mean just doing the best? No, required faithful in the stewards of the mysteries of God. Faithful in the gospel, faithful in the truths of Christ, faithful in the word of God. And be faithful as a servant. And the first person we must be faithful to is the master. You know, he's the one we're going to have to answer to. He says, be faithful to your master. You all know the story very well of those two, this unjust steward, you know, and the Lord, the master called him in and says, you know, it's time to give an account of your stewardship. How you been dealing with my affairs? What have you been doing with my money? What have you been doing with my buildings? What have you been doing with my service? What have you been doing with all my bars? What have you been doing with my goods? He said, it's time for you to pay up. Give an account. Open the books. Let me see how you've been doing. He opened the books. Come to find out, man, he had really made a mess out of things. And he said, oh, listen. I want all of this. I want these books straightened out. You got to get out of here and you got to get what's mine and get it back in here. And he says, oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And I will, if you'll give me time, I'll get it all for you. Well, he turned right around and went out and started grabbing people that owed him. Started choking them, beating them. Pay me what you owe me or I'll put you in jail. See, he wasn't faithful. Wasn't faithful to his master. Wasn't faithful to those under him. And he says, it's required that a man be found faithful. One of these days, just as sure as God's on his throne, there are going to be a lot of folks. When God opens the books, and they're going to say, boy, Lord, I have done so much for you. Come to find out, he read it tonight. Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Huh? And then will he say unto them, Lord, have we done this? Have we done that? Have we done this other thing? He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But all faithful to, not only faithful to his master, but faithful to the gospel his master entrusted him with. And here's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, and I remind myself of this all the time, over in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. I remind myself of this all the time. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We got to be faithful to the gospel our Master entrusted us with. Faithful to that. And I have seen men faithful to one or two. I know men even now that's faithful to preach to one or two or three people, whoever show up. And they preach the gospel. They preach the gospel. I know men that struggle and labor and they get discouraged, but no, they just get up and keep on preaching the gospel. They preach the gospel to their son, to their wife, if that's all there is. And I'm grateful for that. Whether you meet in the home, whether you meet in the kitchen table, I'll never forget as long as I live. And I know I've told you this. We was down in Mexico one time. And we were down in Chiapas. And we went way up this mountainside. Went way up on this mountainside. And there's a village way up in this high mountain. And we got up there as far as we could. And there wasn't but just a half a dozen houses or something in there. Not very many. And we went in there, and we went into people's houses, and there sat the wife, and the husband, and a son, and a daughter-in-law, if I'm not mistaken. And Henry Mahan sat down at a table, and the rest of us sat around, and he opened his Bible. And none of them people confessed to be believers, but the man of the household. And he come in, and he sat there, and Henry opened his Bible and preached to that one man. Preached out of 1 Peter. And just went right, just sat down there and preached that one man. Just him and him. You know, the Lord Jesus preached to one woman one time at the wedding. Yeah. You know, many times the Lord Jesus went to one. You know, he only went to Paul. You know, that's the way he saves us, one at a time. He preaches the gospel to us individually. Huh? And look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Even as God has allowed us to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which tries our heart. See, that's just God that put us in trust with the gospel. You know, it wouldn't. So if somebody else put me in trust with it, I'd have to answer to them. I have to answer to them. So we have to be faithful to the gospel. And I tell you, somebody else it's required that we be faithful to. Must be faithful to those to whom we minister. Must be faithful. Paul was faithful to the Corinthians. Faithful to the Ephesians. Wherever he went, he was faithful. We have to be faithful to those whom we minister. And that means, beloved, preaching the gospel without any mixture. No human wisdom involved in it. No human knowledge, no philosophy, not substituting anything for the truth of Christ. Not substituting anything for it. Just deal with the things of Christ and Christ alone. Shut men up to the truth that there's only one Savior, one Redeemer, one way to God, one old hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Himself. Do not let anybody find any hope, any rest, any peace, any assurance, any place but in Christ. It's required that we do that. And then look what he goes on to say here in verse 3 then. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. You see, these people are set in on judgment. I like Paul. I like Apollos. I like Cephas. Oh, we're of Christ. Them fellas, there ain't nothing. And on he comes on here to say, but with me, in what he says, it's a very small thing. In my estimation, he said it amounts to nothing. What you judge of me. Your opinion, what he's saying, it's a small matter, and that's a little estimation, it's nothing to me that I judged of you, that of your opinion of me. What you think of me as a preacher. Whether you think Paul or Apollos is better than I am, so that don't have nothing to do with it. Your opinion of me, it matters little what you think of me. As I'm a minister of Christ, and I'm required to be faithful, that's the only thing I'm required to do. What you think of me, your opinion of me, what you say about me, and the judgment you pass on me, that has nothing to do with it. I'm called to be a minister of Christ. I have to be faithful to Him. You didn't send me, and what He's saying, my responsibility is not to you, You didn't send me. You didn't teach me what to preach. I'm not your steward, but I'm God's steward. Look what he said over here in 1 Corinthians 1:1. That's what he's talking about. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, not an apostle of Corinth, by the will of God, not by the will of the people at Corinth, not by the will of the people at Ephesus, not by the will of the people at Galatia. I was called to be an apostle by the will of God. So what you say about me, why you preach, your bodily presence, how you speak, all these things, your judgment of me just means nothing. And look what he goes on to say here. Yea, I judge not my own self. He said, you fellows can get together and sit in judgment on me and say, Paul's this and Paul's that, and we'd rather have this preacher, and I don't care if Paul ever comes back and go, make your judgment of me. But he said, I don't even judge my own self. Huh? And that's what he's saying. I don't judge myself. I don't even give an opinion about myself about this business of faithfulness. I just know that Christ is the one who does it. And many are going to find themselves one of these days who claim to be faithful, who are most unfaithful. You see, it isn't enough. That's why Paul said, I judge not myself. He said, who's sufficient for these things? It isn't enough that our conscience doesn't condemn us. You know why it isn't? Because our conscience is partial. It'll let us get by with things. It'll always give us put the best light on what we do. Won't it? You know. It'll always tell you, you're doing much better than folks are saying, you know. Your conscience will be partial to you. And we may justify ourselves, and that's why Paul says, you know, he that judges me, I don't even judge myself. So your opinion of me, I don't even judge myself. And we may justify ourselves. That's what Paul said. You know, he could stand up and argue with these fellows and tell them all of his calling, all of his credentials, and all the things that he's done and how God's used him. He could do all that stuff. But he says, your opinion of me, at my estimation, amounts to nothing. I don't even set in judgment on myself. So why in the world are you doing? And we may justify ourselves, and at the very last may even be condemned of God. That would be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? That would be an awful thing to be condemned of. That's why Paul said, I fought a good fight. He said, oh, it was a fight. I fought a good fight. I fought it all the way. There's no discharge in this war. I got a discharge from the United States Marine Corps in 1969. I got it. Signed. Don't have to go back. I'm out. Discharge. Got discharged out of that war. But there's no discharge in this war. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. And then I kept the faith. He said, it was required that I be faithful. Be a steward. Be faithful. He said, I kept that faith. That mysteries of the gospel that God taught me and revealed to me and gave to me and trusted me with, I kept it. I guarded it. I used it. I honored God with it. Oh, now, I finished my course. I'm done. My departure's at hand. And then look what he says here in verse 5. In verse 4. Yeah, judge not my own self. But he said in verse 4, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And when he said, I judge not my own self, I know nothing by myself, you got to keep this in the context. He says, you know, I know nothing. I didn't take myself into this ministry. I know nothing. All I know is that I'm to be faithful in the ministry that Christ gave me. And he says, and I can tell you this, I know nothing by myself. I know that I'm free from the blood of all men. I know that I've kept nothing back profitable that's profitable to you. But he says, just because that, he said, yet I'm not hereby justified by that because I don't know nothing by myself. What have I got that I didn't receive that God didn't teach me? He said, I'm not clear or vindicated by my opinion or your opinion of me. That's what he's saying. Hereby am I not justified just because I say I do something. Just because I preach that I do something. Just because I say I've accomplished something. But look what he says. But you know who's going to be my judge? And who is my judge? That he that judgeth me is the Lord. It's the Lord Himself that examines my message. It's the Lord Himself that knows my motive. It's the Lord Himself. Since I'm His servant, He's the only one who can judge me and set in judgment on me and pass judgment on me. And that's the only one I'm interested in at judging me. Not you. Not anybody else. It's whether Christ knows I'm faithful or not. It's whether Christ knows that I've been preaching the gospel or not. I'm His master. He's my master. And the Lord Himself examined me and judged me. And that's what He said in verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. You're making all these judgments about these preachers. You're making all these judgments about who you like and who you don't like. Who's preaching the gospel and who isn't preaching the gospel. Who is faithful and who isn't faithful. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord come. And He's coming. Who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Remember our Lord said that. He says that is done in secret will be brought to the light. That is done in the dark will be shouted out on the housetops. And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. When He says, therefore judge nothing before the time. He said, be slow in your judgment. Be slow in it. Don't be hasty to pass sentence. Especially of your preachers. Especially of these ministers. Be slow. Judge nothing before the time. And don't you be so quick to pass judgment until the Lord comes. And then everything will be just revealed just like it really, really is. It's just like He read again tonight. Those folks argued and said, we prophesied in Your name, we cast out devils in Your name, we've done many wonderful works in Your name. If they had read this right here, they said, buddy, I'm like Paul. I said, I am faithful, I am true, I've really done some works and I've accomplished some things. And then the Lord said, in that day of the Lord says, nope. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And that's what Paul's saying here. He said, don't be so quick to judge. You don't know the matter. You don't know the motive. You don't know anything about it. What he's saying here is, until the Lord comes. And the Lord comes, then all things will be judged and brought out as they really are. What does he say? He'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness. If there's a preacher, if there's a minister or somebody, he said he'll bring to light what that fellow's been doing all of his life. He'll bring to, if he's been in darkness, his message ain't been right, his message, he said he'll bring it right out where you can see it. Oh my, then goes on to say, and we'll make manifest the counsels. Everybody takes counsel with himself and he makes these decisions about what he's doing, what he's accomplishing, and he counsels in his heart what he's going to do and how he's going. He said he'll make manifest the counsels of a man's heart. Oh my. Next time you get upset with me or any other preacher comes along, you start thinking about this business. Man, this is a terrible thing to stand here before God Almighty and give an account of what you say and do. Man alive, you say, I know you, preacher. No, you really don't know. You don't know. I tell you, this business, and I hope that I've been honest. I hope I've been true, but God's the only one who really knows. I know there's been several times in my lifetime that I would throw in the towel if God would let me. But He's going to reveal the secrets of men's hearts and the counsels of the heart. Going to be faithful? Have I been faithful? Have I been faithful to you? Have I been faithful to my master? Been faithful to his word? Woo! Man, if there's any hidden things in darkness in my heart, if there's a rotten spot in there, and I'm seeking my own praise and the love of men, the praise of men, pats on the back, coveting men's silver and gold, coveting new suits? Oh, boy, I tell you what, I sure need a new suit. Hoping they get me one at Christmas. Coveting these things, dropping these hints, poor mouthing, those kind of things. That's what he's saying here. These hidden things, is your motive right, the counsels of your heart. And he says, and when that day comes, And then shall every man have praise of God. Those that have been faithful stood, they'll have praise. Then, no matter what anybody else says, if they've been true, they've been faithful, then he'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then he goes on to say in verse 6 here, and these things, goes right back to where he started, and these things have I, brethren, have I in a figure, or in a type, transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think above men that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Now he's talking about preachers. He's going to these folks say, oh, I think Apollos is the best. Paul's the best. Cephas is. And Paul said, I've took these two things, Paul, and I've transfigured them to me and Apollos, whether we're faithful or not. Whether we're going to, God judges the secrets of man's heart. And I've applied these things to me and Apollos, and I did it for your sake. For your sakes. Why did he do that? Look back over here in chapter 3 and verse 4. He said, for a while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? You're setting men and preachers against one another. You're talking like babies. You're talking like, you know, who is Paul and who is Apollos? That's what he said. Who then are they? They're just ministers, servants by whom you believed. And what, look here, and the ministry they have, God gave it to them. Apollos had nothing to say if God didn't put it in his mouth. Paul had nothing to say if God didn't put it in his mouth. He said, I planted Apollos water, but it's God that does the work. And he goes on to say this, so then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, they're nothing. Servants, stewards. And we surely got to plant, we surely got to water, we got to do that. And that's what our master calls us to, get out the water bucket and get out the bag and start sowing. And oh, beloved, but it's God that giveth the increase. Oh, so that's what he's saying. And I put these things in a figure transferred to me in Apollos for your sakes. For your sakes. Don't do no judging. Don't set one up against another. And oh, and he says this, that you might learn. You need to learn some things. You need to learn some things. And you need to learn in us. Look at me. Look at Apollos. Look at Cephas. That you might learn in us. We have this treasure, but it's in an earthen vessel. And not to think, might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. What's it written about man? Man in his best state is altogether better. Woe unto him that maketh the arm of the flesh to be his trust. Woe unto him who leans to his own understanding. And that's what he's saying. Oh my, don't do that. And he goes on to say this, and that not one of you be puffed up against one another. And this word here means inflicted with pride. Inflicted with pride. Well, I'll tell you one thing, buddy. You can have Apollos, you can go listen to him. You can say he's the best preacher that ever was, but he don't do a thing in the world for me. When Paul comes to town, that's who I'm going to listen to. And that's what he's saying. And then he asks him a question. He asked them a question. For this church, and their fact that they were glorying in preachers, they were glorying in gifts, they were setting one preacher against another. And look what he says. Who maketh thee to differ? Who distinguishes you? Now, if God distinguished you, who made you to differ? Who distinguished you? Who called you out of darkness into light? Who called you from death into life? Who called you from sin by his grace? Who gave you the ministers? Who gave you Paul? Who gave you Apollos? Who gave you the world? Who gave you Christ? Who did this? Who gave you the ministers to preach to you? Who gave you the ears to hear? Who gave you the faith to believe? What have you got? You set yourself up here as judge. You're inflicted with this pride. You're puffed up. But what in the world have you got that you didn't receive? Who gave it to you? And then he says, well, why do you glory then? You ought not to glory in yourselves. Don't glory in your preachers. Don't glory in men. Don't glory in anybody but in God. In God. It's He that made you to differ. He gave you all you have, all you know, and all you believe. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this. He says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, shadow or turning. And now look what he says. This is sarcasm here. This is Paul exposing them. And he says, now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. What he's saying here is this. Now this is your opinion of yourselves. This is the way you look at yourselves. This is the way you think you really are. He said, in your opinion, you're full. Full. Man, oh man, we've got everything. And then he goes on to say you're rich. Oh, you're kings. You don't need to grow. You don't need to learn anything. You don't need to become a sinner. You don't need to humble yourself before God. You don't need us preachers. You don't need nobody. Friend, you're like the lamb of sin. You're rich in Christ of goods and have need of nothing. You don't need to be instructed. You don't need to grow. Huh? He said, you reigned as kings and you did it without us. You surely know that we wouldn't make you to be a king. We wouldn't bring you up here and set you up and tell you all that you've done without a preacher. And oh, beloved, you've ascended your throne and come into your kingdom. He says, yet you've done it without us. We didn't help you to exalt yourself. We didn't afflict you with this pride. We never brought a message that filled you with pride, make you think that you was like the Laodicea, that you was full and rich and reigned as kings. No, no. And you've done it without us, without our instruction, without our preaching. But he goes on to say, I would to God you did reign. I would to God that it was time for us all to reign right now. I wished it was time for us all to reign with Christ in glory right now. Because if it was so, we'd reign with you. If you was really reigning, if you really had this power, if you was really this good as condition, he said, I wished it was that way. We'd all reign together. We'd reign with Christ. But here's the way they really was. This is what they think of themselves. And here's what they really are. Chapter 3 and verse 1. This is what they really are. Here he says, you know, we're kings, full, rich. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. That don't hardly sound like a king, does it? Don't hardly sound like he's rich. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk. You think you got a throne? He said, I'm feeding you with milk, not with me. Because you ain't able to bear it. And you're not now. And oh my, you know how I know you're carnal? Because you have envying and strife and factions and divisions and you walk as unregenerate men because you say, oh boy, I tell you what, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. You know. Man, oh man, setting one preacher against another, one truth against another, puffed up over another instead of saying, oh my, let's just humble ourselves. And if a man's preaching the gospel, let's hear him. Let's shut our mouths. Let's give thanks to God that he sent us the gospel. Let's give thanks to God that he gave us a preacher. Let's give thanks to God. If he sends Paul, let's listen to what Paul's got to say. If Apollos comes, let's just bow our heads down and hear what he's got to say. If Cephas comes by, let's just hear what Peter. They're all preaching the same gospel. They're preaching Christ. They're preaching the truth of the grace of God. And we need to hear it. But no, no. No, no. Yeah, but they're just opposite.